Cathedral Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." Now, how do we run this race that is set before us? Looking unto Jesus. How does our spiritual life begin in our experience? Looking unto Jesus. The race is run with patience, looking unto Jesus. And oh, it's my prayer that when I die, I will die looking unto Jesus. This phrase can be the summary of the believer's life. Someone who is looking unto Jesus. Now, we read of a race that is set before us. We all have a race to run, a course to finish. And this race is to be run looking unto Jesus. In verse 1, the writer to the Hebrews said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, he's talking about everybody that he'd mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. All the Old Testament saints, Abel, and Enoch, and Noah, and Abraham and Sarah, and Moses, and all these Old Testament witnesses. They bore witness, and that's where we get the word martyr from. They were willing to die for what they believed. They bore witness to Christ being all in salvation. Abel, what's your testimony? The blood of Christ. Enoch, what's your testimony? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Noah, what's your testimony? Salvation is only in the ark, in the Lord Jesus Christ, nowhere else. Abraham, what's your testimony? They all had the same testimony. They bore witness to the same thing, that Christ is salvation. If you would look at the book of Hebrews, I believe one of the key words is the word better. It's found many times in the book of Hebrews. Christ is better. He's better than angels. In Him, there's a better covenant. There are better promises. There's a better resurrection. A better country. Christ is better. The key to this 11th chapter of Hebrews that before we get into chapter 12, is the word faith. Now, what is meant by faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is trusting Christ only. Now, when I'm talking about faith, when the Bible talks about faith, it's not talking about Peter Pan faith. It's not saying if you believe it, it'll happen. No, God's purpose is going to happen whether you believe it or not. Faith is not believing that it'll happen if I believe. Faith is believing it's accomplished by what Christ has done. It's not believing what might be, it's believing what is. It's believing what has been done by Christ. That's faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, Abel offered unto God that more excellent sacrifice. Now, these Old Testament saints, they bear witness to Christ. They bear witness to the way of faith as opposed to the way of works. Now, seeing we're compassed about, he says, with this great cloud of witnesses, and they're speaking even now. The writer says, let us lay aside every weight, everything that would hinder us in the pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that would hinder us in the way of faith, lay it aside. And that sin which does so easily beset us. Now, when he's talking about a besetting sin, he's not really referring to some particular sin you have problems with, although we ought to lay those aside. Somebody says, well, my besetting sin is anger or lust or pride. Well, those ought to be laid aside, but the besetting sin he's speaking of is unbelief, because it is the sin from which all other sins come from. This is the besetting sin. He'd been talking about faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now let us lay aside every weight and the sin, unbelief, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Patience, cheerful, hopeful endurance. The fruit of faith. Believing there's a prize at the end of the race. Believing there is free grace that will enable us to run the race. Believing that God is in control, and the outcome has already been determined. We're not hoping we'll win. We know we already have won. I think patience can be like watching a ball game that you've taped and you already know the outcome. It's already been determined. So when you see what's going on, you don't get upset because you already know the outcome. In running this race that God has given us, we already know the outcome. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Therefore, we can run with patience the race that is set before us. And then he says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Now, this is the summary of the life of the Christian. Now, here the word looking is used only twice in the New Testament, the word that's translated looking here. It means literally to look away from something so as to see something else. You will not see that something else unless you look away from what it is your eye is fixed upon. Now, the great scriptural illustration of looking to Christ is found in the story of the brazen serpent. I'd like to read that story to you. It's found in Numbers chapter 21. We read beginning in verse 4. This is talking about the children of Israel. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, God had brought them through so much, yet they succumbed to unbelief. Their soul was much discouraged because of the way. Verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread. Now wait a minute, manna had fallen down that very day. Yes, there was bread. Neither is there any water. That too is a lie. Water was coming from the rock. And then they said, our soul loatheth this light bread, the manna that came down from heaven. They were sick of it. They wanted something else. Verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Now put yourself in their position. All these snakes coming into the camp, and when a snake would bite you, you would die. How scary that must have been. Therefore, verse 7, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. That's a likeness of the serpents that were coming in and biting them. You take brass and form a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. All he was called upon to do was look. Now, notice, they were not told to look at the serpents that had bitten them. They were not told to look at their wounds and examine them. They were not told to look to Moses, who was holding the pole with the serpent on the pole. They were to look to that serpent on a pole. And everybody that simply looked, lived. Now the Lord speaks of this in John chapter 3. Actually, the gospel is in this. John chapter 3, verse 14. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you look to Christ, you will be whole. Now, if there was a race to run, and there was a certain point that you had to reach to win this race, how would you run the race? Would you run looking down at your feet? Looking at your walk? No, you'd veer off. Would you turn your head and look at others? No, you'd veer off. Would you turn around and see how you'd ran up to that point? No, you would run in circles that way. No, you keep your eye fixed upon the finish line, upon the point where you had to reach. Looking unto Jesus. This is how this life is carried out, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's consider this thing of looking to Christ. What's it mean? Well, the word in itself means you quit looking at something so as to see something else. You quit looking to yourself. You quit looking to your works. You quit looking to your experience. You quit looking to your ability. You quit looking to your religion. You quit looking to your past. You throw it all away. You stop looking at those things so as to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I look to Him in His person. He's God. He's man. He's the God-man. And because of who He is able to save me. I look to Him in His life. You see, His life tells me what God requires. Perfect likeness to Christ. And His life is my life before God. I'm looking to His life as my personal righteousness before God. You want to know the truth about me? You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The life of Christ is my life before God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. His life is my life before God. His righteousness is my righteousness before God. I look to Him in His death. Now, why did He die? There's only one reason for death. Sin. My sin became His sin, and He made complete payment for my sin. His death caused my justification because my sin was removed by what He did. I look to His death as my sin payment. I look to His resurrection as my justification before God. When the Lord Jesus Christ went into the tomb after being crucified, He went into the tomb with something, my sin. But when He was raised from the dead and came out of the tomb, He came without something, my sin. And I now stand justified before God. I look to Him in His intercession. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. I think of what He said to Peter. Peter, I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And I am right now depending upon Him to represent me before the Father even right now. And that prayer I offer up, He takes. and presents before the Father, and it smells good to God because of His intercession. I'm looking to Him for His return. You know, things are such a mess right now. But He's going to right every wrong. And we're going to see Him as He is when He returns. And that's what's going to make every believer just like Him. Oh, how we look for Him in His return. And I tell you when I'm really going to look to Him. I hope I'm looking to Him now. As a matter of fact, I know I am. But I'll really know what it means to look to Him when my name is called on Judgment Day. And I'm going to look to Him to answer for me. Present and accounted for. Looking unto Jesus. Now, I'd like to go on reading in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, because in that passage of Scripture, He gives us 5 ways we look to Him. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, here are 5 ways we're to look to Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. First, I look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the author, as the source of my faith. Now, I have faith. I believe God. Right now, I believe that although I know in and of myself right now while I speak to you, I'm a sinful man. I believe that through Christ, I stand before God without sin. I believe that who Christ is and what He did is enough to make me perfect before God. I believe that, and I know where that faith came from. It didn't come from me. It wasn't a decision I made. The source of my faith is not an act of my free will. There's no such thing. No, my faith came from Him. He's the author of my faith. He's the source of my faith. And I know that is so. He is the author of faith. Not only is He the author of faith, He's the object of faith. I'm looking to Him. He's the subject of faith. He's everything in faith. He is the author of the faith that every believer has. So first of all, when I look to Him, I'm looking to Him as the source, as the author of my faith. You know, I even come to Him for faith. I don't come to Him with my faith. I come to Him for faith. Lord, give me faith. I know that if You don't give it to me, I won't have it. He's the author of faith. But not only is He the author of faith, He is the finisher, the perfecter, the completer of faith. I know this, the reason I'm going to persevere in the faith and continue in the faith is because He causes me to. He's the completer of faith. And He's the completion of faith. I tell you, when you believe, when you see, you're complete in Him and you don't need anything else. He is the completion of faith. And every believer will persevere all the way to the end because they look to Him as the finisher of their faith. Now, right now, I'm looking unto Jesus as the author, the source, and the finisher, the completer of faith. That is how I look to Him. Now, let's go on reading in our text. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. Now here we're looking to Christ's motive for what He did. Looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. I love to think about this. The Lord looked at the cross and He endured it. Oh, the horrible pain of the cross. He thought of the shame experienced in being the sinner's substitute, and He despised it. He counted it as nothing because of the joy that was set before him. And what was the joy that was set before him? Glorifying his Father. Obeying his Father. Doing his Father's will. For that joy, he'd endure the cross. And count as nothing the shame. Do you know the cross glorifies God? All of God's attributes, who God is seen in the cross. Oh, we see the wisdom of God, how He's made a way to be just and yet justify sinful men and women. We see the power of God, His ability to put away sin. We see the mercy of God and the love of God, His love for sinners. We see the holiness of God, how He will not let sin go unpunished. Every attribute of God is completely displayed and glorified in the cross. So the Lord saw this as the joy that was set before Him in glorifying His Father. And the joy of saving His people. When the Lord went to the cross, He wasn't doing so generically. He had the names of all of His elect written on His breast. And He went there knowing He was having the joy of saving them. When He said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," everybody He prayed for was forgiven. Oh, the joy that was set before Him in saving His people. Now, that's His motive. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, what did He do? He endured the cross. Now, the cross. The cross that our Lord was nailed on. The physical pain, you and I can't have any understanding of. But He endured it. Now, why is there death? Sin. The sin of His people became His. And that's why He was nailed to a cross. He was made sin. Now, what all that means, I do not know. But it also says He despised the shame. He felt all of the shame and the humiliation of the sins of His people. Shame is a very powerful thing. But my sin so truly became His that He experienced the shame of it before His Father. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising, counting as nothing the shame, and look what it says last, and is set down. Is set down. I look to Him as having sat down at the right hand of God. Now, why did He sit down? Because His work was finished. Now, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, one piece of furniture that was conspicuously absent was a chair. There was no chair for the priest because his work was never done. He never sat down. Now listen to this scripture, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said, "When He had by Himself, with no help from me or you, no contribution from me or you, when He had by Himself purged, put away, blotted out our sins, the sins of all for whom He died, He sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool." Now the reason He sat down is because the sins were purged. They were put away. There was nothing left. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, we read, "And every priest standing daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, for from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now this is how I look to him. I look to him having sat down, finished his work, and that means, beloved, that there is nothing for me to do. It's all been done. I look to him as my complete Savior. All that God requires of me, he looks to his Son for, and his Son did it and sat down, and I am complete. I'm lacking nothing in him. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. So I look to him as the author and the finisher of my faith. I look to his motive, the joy that was set before him. I look to what he did. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and I look to him as having sat down, finished the work. There's nothing for me to do. And that gives me such joy to know that there's nothing for me to do. He did it all. I rest in him, and the life that I live, I'm to live looking unto him, the author and finisher of my faith. Now, there's somebody thinking, how can I look when I don't see? Well, it doesn't say whosoever sees. It doesn't say seeing, it says looking. And if there would have been a blind Israelite who would have had his blind eyes pointed toward that serpent on the pole, he'd live. Anybody who looks lives. And what you're called upon to do, what I'm called upon to do, it's not even see. Somebody says, I can't see. Well, then you're not looking. You look, you'll see. And if you don't see, it's because you've never looked. You've never looked to him. You've looked to yourself. You've looked to something you do or something you intend to do. And as long as you look that way, you'll never see him. But when you look to him, you'll see that he's the author and the finisher of faith. You'll see that he did what he did for the joy that was set before him, and he finished the work looking unto Jesus. May God enable you and I to look unto him. Now, we have this message on cassette tape, CD, and DVD. If you call the church, write, or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.